Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's call is being recorded. Now for instructions, I would like to turn the call over to Elaine Papanikolaou. Ms. Papanikolaou, you may now begin.
Thank you, Jewel. Welcome, everyone, to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Elaine Papanikolaou. I'm the moderator for this call, and the call, as was mentioned, is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file will be available along with the charts on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site for you to replay at your convenience. If you haven't joined the e-meeting yet, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is posted on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. If you cannot access the e-meeting, a link to the presentation is available in one of two ways. Either go to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site and click the link to the replay document, or go to any IBM.com page and you'll see a search box at the top right of the page. Enter this number, 700-6656, in that search box and press enter. Again, it's 700-6656. If you need assistance now or during the call, Billy Godleski is our co-moderator, so you can instant message her by double-clicking on her email address in the right panel of the e-meeting. Her email address is Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E, at us.ibm.com. Today's presenter is William Carey, an IBM advisory software engineer focusing on web support. As a member of the WebSphere support team, he's responsible for various support initiatives, in particular, the Electronic Service Request, or ESR, tool. William works closely with the WebSphere support community, as well as with clients, to improve support content quality and drive enhancement requests for the IBM software support sites. Today's topic is Save Time Submitting PMRs with the Electronic Service Request Online Problem Submission Tool. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. Following the presentation, there will be a question and answer session, so please hold your questions until the end of the presentation. If you're in the e-meeting, you should be able to see the presentation. And at this point, I'd like to turn the call over to William Carey.
Okay, thank you, Elaine, and welcome, everybody. Today I'll be taking you through this material on our problem submission tool, our electronic service request tool. I encourage you to ask questions, but if you would, please save the questions until the end of my presentation. On the first page and then later on, I do have my email address. So, you know, if we should run out of time, and your particular question isn't brought up, then please send me an email and I'll get back to you. Or perhaps if you'd rather contact me via email and not share a question during this call, for instance, maybe your IBM customer number or something you don't want to kind of share with the group. And as you know, we have clients from various companies on this call, as well as some IBMers. Then send me a note. We can even set up a one-on-one separate call. One other thing, some of you on this call may have used the ESR tool before, so maybe this is just a refresher for you. For others, this may be new for you, and you may not even be certain if you're eligible to use the tool. For that latter group, there is a test, a pretty easy test that you're going to be able to run. I'll talk about that a little later on just to get a sense of whether you're eligible. So we're on page two. And I'm going to talk about the benefits and advantages of using this tool compared with submitting a PMR over the phone. There are some clear advantages and benefits, and I think you'll see that as we go through the material. I'll talk about the two distinct user roles, show you how to access the tool through some screenshots, talk a bit about our caller self-nomination form that streamlines the process of adding new users, and then spend time on the two main functions, namely how to open new PMRs, problem management records, or how to update existing ones. You have an attachment capability when you use the tool. You could attach log, trace, dump files, must-gather documents within the tool itself. There's a reporting capability. You can create customized spreadsheets as part of your job responsibility is to monitor and keep track of PMR work and activity. There's some administrative information near the end, and then finally, how to get help. So page 3. So this is the tool that customers, our clients with an active Passport Advantage maintenance agreement can use to open problems at any time. And we talk to our clients quite a lot, and one piece of feedback that we get quite often is that customers like the control. They like to be able to describe the software problem they're encountering, describe their environment, and it really does eliminate that first normal point of entry. So when you pick up the phone and dial 1-800-IBM-SERVE or whatever number it might be, generally you're hitting our call center teams. There's a monitoring capability, so you can update by default. You can update any existing PMRs, either those you've created or a colleague has created, either those created over the phone or those submitted electronically in this tool. Now, that's relative to a particular customer number. There's a reporting capability. I'll talk more about that. And then the last point here is that open PMRs are accessible, and then those closed within a 28-day time period as well. So next page, 4. So two distinct user roles. The first is the site technical contact, or STC. That's the person who adds, edits, maintains the list of users. Every one of our clients has to have a primary STC. That's the person, that person's name is called down in the contract. But if it makes sense for your business, you can have secondaries. You can have up to 9 secondaries who can do essentially the same admin-type tasks. The other distinct role is going to be the authorized caller role. Sometimes it's referred to as named caller. You can have as many as you need, and those are that's the person or the group added by the site technical contacts. And then the last point here is that both site technical contacts and authorized callers can do similar things. Namely, they can open new PMRs, and by default, they can update any existing ones. Page 5. 2 steps to get started. First is you need to register. And to do that, you go to our software support site. You see the URL here. And I'll talk a bit later on, and with screenshots, I'll show you where you can get to that registration button and how to access that registration form. And then the second step is you need to be added by one or a site technical contact to the authorized caller list. So after the primary site technical contact, or if there might be one or any, a secondary STC adds that new user, then a welcome email gets sent to that to the new caller, to the new user, with instructions on how to proceed. Page 6. So to access the tool, it involves going to our software support site, going over to the Submit and Track Problems tab, and then looking down a bit on the screenshot, you see the select heading ESR, a little key icon to the left of it. So clicking on that ESR, that acronym, would allow you to drill down and get to the tool. And page 7. You can be on our main software support site, or you could be on a specific product support page. And in the case of the screenshot on page 7, this gives you a sense of what the WebSphere application server support page looks like. Other support pages will be very similar in terms of design and layout. Clicking on the Submit Track Problems link, same string in the left navigation area, clicking on any of those links would allow you to drill down and get to the ESR tool. Page 8. You'd actually get to this sign-in screen. And it's here that you'd enter your IBM ID and password, namely those values you chose when you registered. So pressing Submit then would take you into the, give you access to the tool. Page 9. Now, here's a screenshot of our caller self-nomination form. This form was made available because it really addressed some questions that we were hearing from customers, questions like, who is my site technical contact? What's the process to get started? How do I begin using this tool? So this form is going to be available to anybody who has registered but is not yet on any authorized caller list. Using this form, anyone who has registered can enter the IBM customer number that they'd use for normal PMR submissions over the phone, verifying country, and pressing submit is going to then send an email, a heads-up email, to the primary site technical contact for the ESR tool, indicating somebody has nominated him or herself. Now, I said earlier that you may not be aware of whether you're eligible or not to use this tool. So what I'd suggest for those of you who may be in that position, if you do have an IBM customer number that you've used in the past to submit PMRs over the phone, try accessing or using this form. Now, one of two things will happen. Either you're going to get a success with putting in the IBM customer number, verifying country, pressing submit. Either you'll get a success message indicating your nomination is pending, or you're going to get a message that says something like no contracts were found that match the information provided. So if you get the latter message, then you'll either, first of all, you'll know that that IBM customer number at least won't allow you to use the tool. And some of our bigger, clients with bigger organizations, they may have multiple IBM customer numbers. So it may be the one you just chose and got the error message is not the one, but if there are others in your organization, you may want to try those. By default, again, you can send me a note if you do have questions or are not sure. But this is a quick test. You may be able to run on your own to see if the IBM customer number you generally use is going to work for ESR access. So next page, page 10. It's taking a second to paint. There we go. So here's what the welcome page looks like, especially for a new user. You'll see underneath my name here, for instance, you'd see your name, open a new PMR, that string, same string in the left navigation area. Clicking on that string is going to start the process to get a new PMR created. And then you see in the bottom portion of this page some additional ways that you could get to specific PMRs. You're actually also going to be able to get to a superset of all PMRs under a given customer number. You could do that from here by locating the customer number in that field at the bottom. You see the select one of your customer numbers and a string. Locate the customer number that you use. You don't need a keyword, press go, and that will get you to the superset. I'm going to talk more about that in a later slide, though. Let's go to 11. So here's what the welcome page might look like for you if you're an experienced user, you've used the tool before to submit a PMR electronically. What you'd see near the top is a list. It would be actually the last four open, but a list of the PMRs that are either open or closed within that 28-day time period. Now keep in mind, anytime you see a PMR number, it's hot. You can click on it and drill down and get to the technical details. In addition, you see the string all PMR submitted online. Clicking on that is going to take you to the superset. It will take you to all the PMRs relative to this customer number. It's a little misleading because you will get to the online ones. You'll actually get to more than that. But I'll talk more about that, what you might expect to see behind that that link as we go through some of the slides. Page 12. One other feature or capability in the tool is the option to create but not necessarily submit a PMR. And if you choose to do that, those unfinished or drafts are available. You'd see them when you sign in, and you can access those PMRs. They're available for 5 days. They'd be purged after that. If you do go in and you update one of these unfinished PMRs, it does extend that 5-day time period. And again, a reminder here that anytime you see a PMR number, the number, branch, country code, string, it's hot. You can click on it, drill down, and get to the details. 13. It's a good idea when you start using the tool to look at your profile, to go in and verify some settings and make sure that the settings are as you want them to be. To get to the profile, and everybody has one who uses the tool, it would involve clicking on the My Profile for Electronic Service Request link in the left navigation area. So let's go there. Next page, 14. And this is what you'd expect to see in your profile, something like this. You'd see some details that came in, that were fed in, because they were provided at registration time. It's a good idea to check the time zone, to verify the contact method. Another important thing you want to do and look at is the PMR notification preferences section in your profile. So let's go to 15. An advantage or benefit in terms of using this tool is if you choose to be notified, when a PMR is updated and you make the appropriate choice and with these checkboxes, then you can get a heads-up email about a change relative to your PMR, if it's been updated or if it's been closed. So that's something to check and to verify when you start using the tool. One other thing, and that would be the section that, near the bottom, use my primary product component list. The way that this tool works is that it needs a product and an associated component in order to build a PMR to get it into our problem management system. So keep in mind the fact that those product component pairs are listed in your profile. You can see them. You can delete any of them. You can build this list either one PMR at a time, or if you click on the Add to My Primary Product Component List, you can do it more quickly and build the list. I'll talk more about why you'd care about that list and why it can be an efficiency for you in the next couple of slides. So let's go to 16. So as you begin using the tool, this is what you'd expect to see when you open your first PMR. In the Select a Product list, you'd see no products listed, nor would you see any components listed in the drop-down below. And the reason is because you have to build this primary product component list. It's pretty easy to do, but it's not pre-filled or pre-populated. What you would do is you would go to the Select a Contract optional field near the bottom of your page, and you'd find your contract number, contract type, and IBM customer number. They'd all be on one line. Highlighting that string and pressing the Go button, let's go to 17, is then going to produce a list of all of the products relative to this customer number, all of the products against which you can open PMRs and to which you're entitled. So selecting a product in this list and pressing Continue, let's go to 18, would then result in a list of associated components. Now, initially, when you come to this part of the tool, there's text at the bottom of the list. You see it now, but it's grayed out initially, Add to My Primary Product Component List. When you highlight a component, the text becomes prominent. And if you put a check in the checkbox and press Continue, a couple of things are going to happen. First, you move to the next part of the tool where you can start adding contact information and technical details. Second, it puts the information in your profile. And you remember that the product component pairs were listed there and you could delete them. And then finally, it's going to take the product and component pair and it's going to start filling in those lists. And remember, early on, they were empty. So think of it as an efficiency or a way to build a favorites list or to kind of cut through what can be sometimes lengthy lists of products or components. So 19. So the problem description and contact information area uses a tabbed approach, a design. Under contact information, you see some details that were fed in because they were, in my case, they were in my profile. So it's good to verify, again, contact method. Two things I want to point out. One is the alternate email field, and the other is the alt contact drop down at the bottom. The alternate email field has a different functionality under the covers here. In my example, an alternate email, fred@us.ibm.com. Fred does not get notified about any changes relative to this PMR unless I either tell him about them or I make the contact method of the radio button change there on the right. On the other hand, alt contact is very different. Alt contact is actually a list of all of the site technical contacts and all of the authorized callers associated with this customer number. Now, in my example here, I've got my colleague's name, Elaine Papanikolaou. If this were a real PMR and I submitted it, Elaine would get notified, and would, if she were my backup, for example, she would get notified about the changes, activity relative to this, to the PMR at hand here. Okay, that's assuming she doesn't have something in her profile to indicate that she doesn't want to be notified. Okay, so just please realize the distinction there. Page 20. So moving over to the problem description tab, you see at the top set severity. Our clients always make the decision in terms of the severity, the level of the PMR. And levels definitions provides a little help text to distinguish among those four severity levels. And then the rest really involves filling in these fields the descriptions about the issue, about the problem at hand. Short description is the only required field. But let's move to 21. You'll see the others. But as you see, some of the other fields are important as well. So, you know, please fill in as appropriate. You see also the attached relevant file field there. Okay? That's where you can submit and send into IBM support trace, dump, log files, any must-gather documents that you feel are going to be helpful in terms of helping us troubleshoot the issue and resolving it for you. Now, you can send one file at a time, but files can be packaged, so you can send multiple files as long as they're zipped up and sent, you know, one package at a time. The other point is that size is really not an inhibitor for us. We accept very large files and can handle them. You may hit a timeout value in your browser. And so if there is a limitation, it would be on the client side. We can accept pretty significantly big files. Two other points. You see the save is unfinished string there. If you click on that string, it's going to save this as an unfinished PMR or draft. I'll talk a little bit about that in the next slide. Or press submit. By pressing submit, a PMR number is generated immediately or almost immediately. The problem PMR gets transferred into our system, gets on a support queue, problem management system that is, gets on a support queue, and one of our support people start working the issue for you. And 22. So with this tool, you can create new PMRs, and by default, anybody on the list can update existing ones. And again, a reminder at the top there, you see the My Unfinished PMRs. You have that capability that was created but not submitted. And one last point on 22 is that anytime you see a PMR number, it's hot, and you can click on it to get to the details, the technical exchanges between you or your colleagues and IBM support. 23. Now, if you want to get to all the PMRs relative to a given customer number, those open or closed within a a 28-day time period, or you want to create a customized report, spreadsheet, then clicking on the All PMR Submitted Online is going to get you there. So let's go to 24. And you'd get to a page that looks something like this. In the search results page, you see at the top some filtering choices, and depending on the choices and changes you make at the top, you would click Update List below. It actually updates the table that you create at the bottom of the page. And then you can either print the table as you see, or produce a Excel spreadsheet by clicking on the spreadsheet-friendly format. Clicking on the headers in the table that's at the bottom of the page here would do a sort resort of the information below. And then finally, if you want to create a different appearance, a different layout to the spreadsheet, you want the status to be in the first column and the PMR number to be in the last column or whatever, clicking Customize Report Further, and let's go to 25. Gives you some additional choices in terms of how you would like to how you'd like your spreadsheet to appear. So 26. This slide 26 and the next couple of slides would be those that the site technical contact, be it primary or secondary, would have visibility in the tool. The two main things that the site technical contact would do is either manage nominations, respond to the self nominations sent in, or add new callers. Now, just one distinction, only the primary STC gets the heads-up email when someone nominates him or herself. However, either a primary or a secondary can go in and would be able to react or respond to those nominations. And 27... you get a view of what the nominations UI would look like in the screen. It's a quick way to do an approve or deny if that makes if that makes sense. 28. The other thing that a site technical contact can do is add new users apart from this nomination process. To do that, it would involve adding the person's email address, or rather the ID, which is generally an email address, in that IBM registration ID field. And then it is a two-click process that the site technical contact would have to click show contact list, excuse me, contract list, and then there's another click required for add caller. But that is another way to add a user. The person does need to be registered. That is a prereq, however. This slide 29 is useful information for the primary site technical contact, and so we do find instances where the primary is has gotten the welcome email, and so this is information for that person. And there is an expiration on that email, so if it does go beyond that 10-day time period, it won't work. At least it's it involves some additional pinging of somebody at IBM, but we can do that, and the help desk team is on hand to assist there. Let's go to 30. We do have help information in the tool, and it's available either by clicking on the help link in the left nav area, or you see in under the related link section some another link there. 31. There's also an online a tutorial, a viewlet that's available for any of our clients who want to have a refresher or want to come up to speed in terms of the features and functions of the tool. It would involve going to that site tours, that HTML page. And the viewlet, the tutorial lasts about 5 to 10 minutes, does a nice job of highlighting features and functions of the tool. If you need to, or your colleagues need to contact IBM for whatever reason relative to a question or a problem with this ESR tool, again, there's my email address, and I'd be happy to answer questions and assist in any way I can. We do have help information. There is a team behind the ESR help desk at us.ibm.com that can address questions. And finally, we have a series of 800 toll-free numbers for customers in all of the geographies. The number at the bottom of the page here is for customers in U.S. and Canada, but a complete list is on the help-contactus.html page. So 33. So in summary, we do encourage and remind our clients that they have this electronic option. It does really give them more control of their PMRs. It allows them to create, update PMRs, a reporting capability, and the option to create customized spreadsheets, an attachment capability, a way to get the troubleshooting files into us. More information on this is on the software support site. And I actually have one last slide. A reminder about some additional resources that will be helpful for you. Lots of real good information on the developer work site, admin type information. In addition to that, for the information for the development community. We do have other webcasts that are being planned, and you can go to that URL to the events URL there to learn more about those. And let's see. I guess the last point is, we do strongly recommend and encourage you to sign up for the My Support weekly email. It's a great way to be proactive and be kept advised of updates, fixes, changes that you need to know about. And so please do consider that in that last bullet, if you haven't already done so, going into the My Support area in our software support site and getting yourself set up there. It's an excellent way to keep ahead of changes and updates. That's all that I've got. Jewel, I think we're ready, if you would, to open the floor for questions.
Most definitely. We will now begin the question and answer segment of the conference. If you would like to ask a question during this period, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you no longer wish to ask a question, please press star 9. If you enter the digits incorrectly, please allow 5 seconds before you re-enter. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star and the number 1 to ask a question or make a comment. We'll pause a moment. You have one question in queue, and that question comes from Paul Sims of IBM. Mr. Sims, your line is open.
Thank you. Hi, Bill. Thanks for the presentation today. We just noticed that there are some delays between us making updates through the ESR tool and them being reflected when we refresh our screen. How long should we expect that to take, and if it's taking too long, should we be reporting that to the help desk?
Right. Okay. Thanks, Paul. That should be quite fast. If we're talking about delays beyond, say, a 5-minute time period, then actually what you can do is ping me. You can contact the help desk, but, we're talking pretty immediate in terms of the changes going into, retain our problem management system and being reflected. So,
right.
It's generally quite efficient and fast.
Okay. What I've seen is that we can go in retain and see that the update has been logged, but we can't view it using the ESR tool until sometime later.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. But do ping me if you see instances like that.
Okay.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from Glenn Packer of Verizon. Your line is open.
Hi, do you know what the actual maximum size is for a file that can be attached to a PMR?
is it Glenn?
Yes.
Yeah. We've gotten Gig Plus files, and we've handled them fine. I haven't heard about bigger file sizes, but in general, you know, we're you know, we haven't hit a limit, but we always do, of course, encourage you know, the you know, zipping and getting the files as small as possible.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And at this time, there are no more questions in queue. You may continue with your closing comments or continue with your presentation.
Okay, well, this is Elaine again. This concludes today's presentation, and if there are no more questions. William, thanks very much for a very informative presentation. And to everyone who joined the call, we hope this information presented is valuable to you. Remember that a replay of the presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. And we hope you'll also join us for future presentations, which will be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and have a good day.